I'm LaVon.
I'm Miss Nene.
Welcome to Family Fun in the Kitchen. And talking about family fun, that's kind of what we're going to talk about now here during this season of family time. What better topic to include?
And usually this time of year, more folks are in the kitchen with their children and having a good time, enjoying that camaraderie that comes about by assembling baked items or food items. It's just the working together in the kitchen that brings out a whole nother layer of personality oftentimes.
And I know you know, and I just talked to somebody the other day that said, well, on such and such a day, grandma, the kids, the sister, everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not just immediate family. Everybody's coming to my house and we're going to make cookies.
Holy smoke.
Yeah. But I hear a number of people do that. It's kind of like that tradition that, you know, maybe you have to kind of go different places for the Christmas day anymore because, you know, families get about. But this is the one tradition that keeps their family together and they have a great time.
That is neat. That is neat. And how well organized the hostess has to be. And I'm wondering, do they have baking stations? Does the same person make the same item every year?
Yeah. Maybe we should invite ourselves to one of those just to check it out and see how they work all that. That would be really, really fun. And talking about really, really fun and getting together, you've kind of got some suggestions from people. You asked for some memories and you got some.
Yes. And it's been fun to read these memories because sometimes there's these traditions are similar from family to family, and sometimes they are specific to a certain family. One of our listeners, Jane, and her family and her extended family have made donuts on Christmas morning for years. The tradition was started with her mom, and now Jane has carried that through, and it extends to her children and grandchildren. So, and I'm sure it'll even go beyond that in this family.
Because they have such a great time.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't just a couple of people. This is a big family. They don't make just a couple of donuts. They make lots of donuts. And all that good time about making them and talking over it and all of that, you bet. I'm sure it will continue.
She gets up around 4 o'clock-ish on Christmas morning and gets the dough ready for all the rest of the family to come down and cut out shapes and then fry the donuts. And, of course, I'm sure there's powdered sugar frosting that goes on them, or maybe even a dusting of powdered sugar. And some people might even like those donuts plain too, but it's a fun experience. And I have friends in Nebraska who kind of follow along this same tradition with making homemade donuts, except they do it on the first day that it snows. And this is a big family too, and they all get together and just have a most wonderful time. And it's a tradition that's passed down from great-grandparent to grandparent to parent to child, and the list goes on and on and on. So wonderful that we still take time in America and hopefully in the world to follow through with these traditions during the Christmas season.
You know, it's important to look new and look to the future, but traditions kind of hold us together and hold those values and what's important to us together. So yes, it is important. Now, I think you're going to share a recipe that probably is related to another tradition.
Yes, it is. And it stems from my childhood way back almost 60 years and more to when my mom was involved in a homemakers club. And for many of our listeners, they may not know what a homemakers club is. And well, what it was basically an extension outreach for rural women who could learn and be educated through extension programs that taught about homemaking. And it was a social group too. As I mentioned to you, LaVon, in our small community, the homemakers club basically served as the welcome wagon. I can't recall any of our neighbors, women who were not involved in the homemakers club. They planned parties for the kids at Halloween time. They hosted meals for when November elections. Any time that a community event was ongoing, it was usually instilled into the fabric of our community by the homemakers club. And my mom was a very, very active homemaker herself. But one of the activities that they did that was most appealing to me, because even way back as a child, I can trace back to my love for food. And so this was when they had their once a year candy exchange. And it, later on, it turned into, they broadened their scope, and it turned out to be a candy and cookie exchange. My mom would always make her traditional peanut butter fudge, which was my dad's favorite candy, and she also made a chocolate fudge, a very simple chocolate fudge. But there was neighbor Marge who made a very unique candy. It was made with a baked potato. And I remember the time that mom...
You're going, what?
Yes, that mom told me that Marge made this candy, and it was beautiful candy. It looked like a roll of fondant. It was colored. I remember some of it being white and had chopped walnuts in it. One roll of fondant was pink, and it had chopped maraschino cherries in it. Another one was mint green, and it had mint flavoring in it. And then this fondant was dipped in chocolate coating. And
of course, the finale, right? You got to have chocolate.
You bet. And it was very pretty. And of course, to a small child, anything with vibrant color is very attractive to a small child. And yet there was something about that when mom said it was made with baked potato that I tended to shy away from it. But it was almost like the fingers of the candy were calling me and saying, come, come. So when I tasted it, it was really very good. And what it is this warm mashed baked potato is combined with powdered sugar until a paste is formed. The add-ons are added in, and as far as the coloring and extracts and nuts and fruits, and then dipped in the chocolate and allowed to set up. And voila, there's the candy. But with this recipe, we will have on our website at kjan.com. Now, one thing that Marge said when I asked her about this is she said, oh, I haven't made these in a very long time. Thanks for the reminder. I might just do that. And anyway, of course, you might expect at a community candy exchange, there will be some flavors of candies that won't appeal to you, especially to children, and some that you'll just look forward to seeing every year. And that's how it was in our hometown,
so
too.
You sort of question it, but did you end up liking it?
I did.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because potato is pretty bland, and yet it has some sweetness to it. I mean, I like potatoes. I think they have good flavor. But then when you add that other flavor, you don't taste the potato so much. You taste whatever flavor was added to it.
Yes, that's
and
right.
And a pretty basic ingredients. You know, you think about what do you have to have on hand to make this candy? Mm-hmm. Not too many things. Powdered sugar, potatoes, and whatever flavoring?
Yes.
Wow.
And who knows? This might have even stemmed back from in the Depression days when you had to just depend on the very few supplies or ingredients that you could produce in your garden or could that were basic staples in your kitchen. And that's what I often think about this particular recipe. I did go online and Google this recipe a few months ago because it just came to mind and I wanted to see if I could find that recipe before I called Marge. And there it was. It was there. So if you don't get the recipe online at our site at kjan.com, then you can Google baked potato candy and the recipe comes up.
And what a fun thing to do with kids. I mean, they'll just be wide-eyed, I think, to think about we're making candy with potatoes. Mm-hmm. Yep. What a great thing to do.
Yes. And then, of course, another recipe that I have is for haystack cookies. And maybe some of you are very familiar with this recipe. It's been around for a long, long time. But mom would make this usually just once a year, and it consists of semi-sweet chocolate chips, peanut butter chips, chow mein noodles for that crunch, and of course I love the crunch, and then dry roasted peanuts could be added, but what I remember mom adding were English walnuts. That was the time of the year that she would use a lot of nut meats. And it's optional if you would like to add any dried fruit, such as dried cranberries, add a pinch of salt and drop those onto a sheet and let them set up. And it's a really nice little treat. It's really, to my mind, a cross between a cookie and a candy.
Really easy, really fast. Mm-hmm. Again, a good thing to get kids involved with. And I just made some, and the suggestion there was to sprinkle a little bit of the coarse salt over the top.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Just for pretty, not so much because you needed a lot of salt added, but just a little finishing touch.
And isn't
you'd like that?
That's interesting because this haystack cookie recipe stems from way back, decades ago, and yet now we can update it with the sprinkling of the coarse salt or sea salt on top of it and make it even more fun.
More fun, yes. So fun. We're really living up to family fun in the kitchen today.
That's right. And we hope that you will take the time to have your children join you in the kitchen to make some of these easy recipes or traditional family recipes that have been passed down from generations to generation in your home. Remember now, you can go online and to kjan.com, Click on Family Fun in the Kitchen with LaVon and Miss Nini, and today's podcast will be there, along with these two recipes, one for the baked potato candy and one for the haystack cookies. Remember now, make some fond family memories in the kitchen.